everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. It's time for another Secret War Saturday. This time we're going to be talking about Marvel Superheroes Secret Wars number 5 from September of 1984. If you remember, on the last issue, we saw the heroes had taken refuge in a village on the Battleworld planet, and Galactus had actually moved after many days of standing still, just completely stationary. And Reed Richards specifically was alarmed by what he saw when he looked up into the sky. So that's where issue 5 starts. Real quick though, on the cover, we see Iron Man, Captain America, Reed Richards, and Spider-Man, and they all look a little worse for wear, being attacked by villains. And the dialogue box on the cover says, "At last, the X-Men strike back." And we've got the X-Men in the background attacking the villains who are subduing the other heroes. So the Battle of the Four Armies is the name of the issue. The creative team, we have Jim Shooter, writer, Bob Layton on pencils, John Beatty on inks, and Christy Scheel on colors. So as I said, Reed was the one who knew the end of last issue. I think he said something to the effect, "Oh no." And he starts up this issue by saying, "I should have known, I should have suspected this." And Captain America asks him, "What does it, Reed? What does it mean?" Iron Man saying, "Look at the size of the thing, takes up the whole sky, even though it's millions of miles away." So in the next panel, on the next page, we see Human Torch saying it's Galactus's home. And Reed saying he must have summoned it from the far side of the universe. That's why it took so long to reach there. And the heroes are just overwhelmed with the size of this. And the healer, Zaji, is very worried, speaking in her language. And the Human Torch is trying to calm her down. He says, "I wish I could speak your language." And Zaji actually takes him, Human Torch, Johnny Storm, to her dwelling. I guess it's not really a hut, but takes him to her dwelling. And there's a very intricate bottle on a table, and she lifts the stopper out of the bottle, and these fumes come out, and it's some kind of means of communicating. So they basically kind of mind meld. They can share each other's thoughts, and really it's just it's a plot device for Shooter to give a kind of a synopsis of the story up to this point. So first thing we get is kind of a panel with headshots of all the heroes. Then we get another with all the villains. We get a flashback to when Battleworld was formed, as the Beyonder, you know, grabbed pieces of many different worlds and kind of melded them together to create this Battleworld. We see the Beyonder actually speak, same words we saw in the first issue. And then we see the villains' first attack, where they were successful in kind of putting the heroes on the defensive. We see the heroes buried underneath the mountain range that Molecule Man dropped on him, that awesome scene from issue 4. Then we see Johnny being healed by Zaji, and then we're back to the present time in her dwelling, I guess you'd say. And so I guess caught up in the moment of having shared these thoughts and so intimate, and him being Johnny Storm, he's like, "Yeah, great. I know your name, Zaji." And she says, "Johnny," and they kiss. So there's that. Meanwhile, far away in Magneto's fortress, we see Colossus kind of pining for Kitty, thinking about her, missing her. And he thinks about the offer that the Beyonder gave about whichever side defeats the other, they'll have their wishes granted, their greatest wish. And he says, I know what mine would be. And before he can think any further, Professor Xavier kind of intrudes on his thoughts and says, "Colossus, come at once." Seconds later, we see Magneto and Professor X kind of standing there while the X-Men converge on their position. And Magneto's remarking how quickly they respond, Xavier. And Professor X says, "Yeah, slower than I'm content with, though." And Nightcrawler's like, well, maybe if you didn't bowl us over with the force of your telepathic command, but whatever, we're here. And the reason that Professor X called them together is shown when they retract part of the roof of Magneto's stronghold, and they too see Galactus's ship. And as Rogue asks what it is, again, something a little out of character about this portrayal of Professor X. I have telepathically gleaned this information from Reed Richards' thoughts. What you see is Galactus' home. So again, I just like he did with Spider-Man, I just don't see Professor X just, okay, I don't know what this is, I'm going to go read Richards' mind. I just don't think he would do things like that. It's wildly out of character for him. But be that as it may, X-Men are obviously very concerned. Magneto gives them orders. Rogue and the others will go now, prepare a ship. We have to move quickly against Galactus if, as Xavier and I fear, the events foreshadow hostile actions on his part. And Wolverine's like, whoa, since when do you give us orders? And Rogue says, yes, I'm the leader of the X-Men. And Cyclops is thinking, yeah, that's right, but, you know, under these circumstances, perhaps I should be the leader, given my experience. When really, we know Professor Xavier has thoughts on being the leader himself now that he's not confined to a wheelchair. But anyway, he says, X-Men, just do what Magneto says, please. There's not really time for discussion. So they run off to a ship to go find out what Magneto's up to, or Galactus is up to, rather. And meanwhile, Magneto says to Xavier, let's get on with it. So clearly they have something else in mind for themselves. And at that moment, thousands of miles away, and on the very next page, we see the Wrecker and his wrecking crew, along with Absorbing Man, kind of hanging out in this garden or greenhouse in the villain base, while Molecule Man and Volcana are on a stroll. And Pile Driver thinks that's kind of funny. He's like, here comes the milksop and his cow. And Molecule Man's like, let's just ignore him. It's no big deal. And he's like, my therapist says we should just ignore him. And Volcana says, all right, one more sound on the jerks, I'm going to make you sorry. And Pile Driver can't resist. Yes'm, Mr. Nerd. Yes'm, Mr. Nerd. Molecule Man's like, nope, that's it. Who said that word? And he basically turns Pile Driver's uniform into some ultra-hard metal-like substance, is what he calls it. And he's, like, frozen, you know, because it's completely, you know, stiff. He's encased in metal. So he knocks him over, and Volcana stomps on the back of his face, says, eat mud, basically. And Molecule Man says, anybody else got something to say? They're like, nope, we're all good. The Molecule Man basically solidifies air molecules into a chariot, and him and Volcana depart, while the Wrecker uses his crowbar to basically release Pile Driver from the armor that his costume has become. So as they're doing that, and Titania's calling them cowards, they look up in the sky and see the Galactus's ship as well, and they're wondering what it is and wondering where Doom is, because he'll know what to do. And at that moment, Doom is in his lair, I guess you'd say, doing his studying. And he, much like Richard said he should have suspected, Doom did suspect. He says, at last, Galactus's home has arrived as I knew it would. His plans are becoming clear, and my plans crystallize as well. So he tells all his minions, the other villains, he calls them servitors of Doom, prepare yourselves for battle. From this instant on, you're on red alert. Be ready to strike at a moment's notice. Fail me, and you shall be utterly destroyed. Meanwhile, Enchantress shows up, says, Doom, I'd have a word with you. Says, I don't want to die. I don't want to have anything to do with this. There's a barrier preventing me from simply fleeing this world, but if you help me, I know together we could escape. You're such a clever, clever mortal. Doom's like, nah, not going to do that. And then Enchantress says, but I could repair your face. And Doom, you can tell he's tempted for a second. He's like, no, I know sorcery. The price of such a feat would be high. Save your tricks, Enchantress. You have your orders. And tells her to be gone. And you get the feeling that Enchantress is not happy. Very well, madman. 'Tis done. And she leaves. So meanwhile, back at Magneto's headquarters or base, we see that him and Professor Xavier are using their mental capabilities to try to probe Galactus's mind, see if they can reason with him. Also, at the very same moment, Reed says, you know, maybe I can, I've communicated with him before, I once saved his life, let me see what I can do. And he kind of stretches up there, starts waving his arms. Hey, Galactus, look at me. But with Magneto and Professor X trying to communicate as well, not being able to get through Galactus's mental defenses, Magneto pushes a little too hard. It's not subtle. And there's like a psychic backlash that takes out half of Magneto's base. And at the same time, that psychic backlash hits Reed as well, Reed Richards. So he falls to the ground and he's still like all stretched out. And he's like, no, you. And Captain America's like, oh, are you okay? And Captain America says, okay, you're fine, no harm done. But Reed Richards says, no, you don't understand. We're in danger now. Galactus is now aware that we're here and he's going to sick his cat on us or something, Iron Man says. And that's actually exactly what he does. So he sends down a construct and the heroes are involved in a fight and they're pretty much getting their butts kicked until finally the thing manages to get the, I don't know what it is. It's not really a robot. I mean, it's some kind of construct. It's a humanoid giant robot thing. And the thing manages to get a hold of it, and Human Torch basically gives his brightest Nova flame blast into the creature's mouth, and something in the chest explodes, and they have managed to defeat the construct from Galactus. But just at that moment, as they're kind of trying to recover from that battle, that's when the villains attack. So the heroes aren't really prepared. They're kind of taken unaware, which is exactly what Doom had planned, because we see he's not too far away. He's watching the battle. He's watching Galactus. And the heroes are being driven back. The villains are clearly winning the fight. And just when it seems like the villains are going to completely obliterate the heroes, the X-Men show up with Professor Xavier kind of leading the charge in the field. And that seems to turn the tide. But as some debris from the battle is kind of flung toward Galactus and lands at his feet, we see Galactus is actually momentarily distracted. And right at that moment, Doom says, now! And he launches the little ship he's in up through the subspatial ether toward the world ship's hull. And meanwhile, we see Colossus is taking on the whole Wrecking Crew all by himself when the Wrecker gets in a really good shot. And Colossus just collapses, reverts back to human form. And the Enchantress says, that's it. These X-Men fight as though possessed. We've got to beat a hasty retreat. And she teleports everybody away. Meanwhile, Professor X tells the X-Men it's time to depart. And Storm says, no, as soon as we've got to get Colossus. And Xavier says, no, he must not be moved to the ship now. We've got to leave him behind. And the X-Men are not happy with that at all. So they get onto the ship, and Magneto's like, why are you complaining? Colossus was obviously gravely injured. He's of no use to us. And Wolverine's like, hey, the X-Men stick together, man. And Xavier says, stop your arguing. Colossus's injuries were such that to move him would kill him. There's a healer in the village. I know Captain America will do what's right and will take care of him. He also says, as an independent ally of Captain America's group, they can be extremely effective and they should continue playing the role as a quote-unquote third force. But to do so, they must keep their distance, even if it means leaving Colossus behind. Understood? So again, I just think that this characterization of Professor Xavier doesn't ring true, and it stands out all the more so because Shooter, rather, does such a great job on characterization of most of the heroes. So that's why the Professor Xavier characterization just seems so off to me. So anyway, Iron Man is trying to comfort Colossus, and Zaji. She's like, let me see if I can help. And Colossus is like, get away from you. I don't want any help. And Iron Man's like, dude, now you done gone and lost your place in line. Are you happy? As she moves on to heal Spider-Man's injuries. And just then, Johnny Storm comes up, says, nice work, lady. You're terrific. They embrace. They kiss. You know, it's Johnny being Johnny, the ladies man. And that's finally when Colossus noticed her. He says, ah, she's very beautiful and much in love with the Human Torch. Why does that trouble me? And all of a sudden, I can't picture Kitty in my mind. Zaji. Her name is Zaji. So then he calls out, and Zaji hears him and goes to lay her hands on him and heal him. This time, Colossus allows it. Meanwhile, Reed and Captain America are trying to figure out just what's going on. Galactus appears to be building some kind of device on top of the plateau he's standing on. And Reed's explaining that it's going to take Galactus some time to complete the assembly. There's no telling exactly how long. And then Captain America's like, well, what happens when it's together? And Reed says, I presume he plans to consume the entire planet, probably destroying us in the process and winning the Beyonders game. And Richard says, I doubt it's just that simple. Galactus is calculating, planning something. I feel it. And Captain America wonders what that is and what Doom is as up to as well. And at that very moment, Doom is actually traversing the inside of Galactus' ship, trying to find something that will allow him to take on the Beyonder. Because again, he feels that the way to win is not to play the Beyonder's game, but to go outside the rules and find a way to take the Beyonder's power. So, as I said, he's strolling the ship. He says, I, Victor Von Doom, shall find an answer. I shall find a way for the virus to grow and become strong, because he considers himself as a virus as he's walking through this gigantic ship of Galactus. And as he's walking through, he says, hold, what's this? And we see the blurb, next issue, The Way. So this is an interesting issue because it does have a long battle. It has actually a couple battles. It has the battle with the heroes against Galactus's construct. And then it has the big main battle with the villains and the heroes, wherein the X-Men show up and kind of turn the tide. So the majority of the issue, you know, more than half is battle. But at the same time, it doesn't really feel like it's an action-packed issue, really. I mean, the first half of the issue, first 12 pages or so, are very much set up. And then, you know, we lose at least a page, a little more than a page, almost 2 pages, actually, to the flashback recap when Johnny and Zaji are mind-melding. So that takes away some real estate as well. But I guess it just feels like, because even though half of the book is them fighting, it's you don't really get like a blow by blow. You get a little bit more of that when the heroes are fighting the construct. Like you see the construct bash the Hulk, and then you see the construct kind of grab Spider-Man and She-Hulk and use his like fiery breath to take out a bunch of the other heroes. So that fight is more of a blow by blow. It's more focused, and you kind of see the battle, you know, as it happens. Whereas when the villains attack, it's just kind of like big group shots from far away. The villains are just, you know, firing either the cannons from the ship that they're on, or, you know, Ultron's firing his disintegrator ray. Enchantress is throwing some spells, and a lot of the other villains are using alien weaponry that they found at their base. So it's not really the same kind of detail in battle that we got in the hero versus the construct battle. And so for that reason, I guess it just doesn't feel like there's a lot there. It feels much more like a setup issue or just kind of a more of a down issue as far as the amount of action. That being said, there are a lot of little plot threads and some nice character moments. And it's definitely an X-Men focused issue. I'll say that for sure. I mean, you know, as I said, the front cover says, you know, at last the X-Men strike back. So it is very much an X-Men issue. A lot of the back story, a lot of those plot threads do have to do with the X-Men. You know, we're starting to see kind of the cracks and the, I guess, the competition to lead. You know, Storm is technically leader of the X-Men at this time, but Cyclops used to being the leader. The only reason Storm is the leader right now is because technically Cyclops had left the X-Men. But again, Professor Xavier is not in a wheelchair and he feels he's capable of being in the field and able to lead the X-Men in a way that he never has before since they were formed, especially this, you know, all new, all different X-Men. So there's definitely that friction going on. There's the continuing friction of the fact that they're working with Magneto. There's the fact that they had to leave Colossus behind, which doesn't sit well with a lot of the X-Men. So again, there's a lot going on there, and it makes for interesting reading. Plus we have the side plot of Molecule Man and Volcano, which to be honest isn't really that interesting, but does provide a little bit of comic relief in this issue. And then we also have, as far as X-Men go, the whole Colossus angle, you know, where he was pining and pining for Kitty Pryde, and then as soon as he lays eyes on Zsasz, he can't even remember what Kitty looks like. So clearly something going on there. And of course the biggest backstory of all, or side plot if you will, is what exactly is Galactus planning. And then the little cliffhanger at the end, what did Doom find? So again, more of a setup issue than anything else. I think this issue definitely gives us a lot more questions than it does answers. You know, we did find out the answer. What was it that had the heroes so worried at the end of last issue? Turns out it was Galactus' ship arriving. But beyond that, we still don't know what Doom's plan is. We still don't know what Galactus' plan is other than to just eat the planet and win by destroying everybody in the process. Or does he have something else planned? You know, we just don't know. And there's also the question of, so this issue is focused a lot on the X-Men, but, and we know that Xavier wants to keep acting as an independent third force, but what exactly is he doing with Magneto? Does he think all of a sudden with his newfound confidence and ability to be out of the chair that he can finally change Magneto's ways? And doesn't he still need to pay for his past crimes? I mean, none of that's ever really clear. Again, I go back to the fact that of all the characters in the book, that Shooter, I mean, I don't want to say he doesn't understand them. I mean, the guy's the editor-in-chief of Marvel Comics. But it just feels like, I don't know, he doesn't ring true. More so than anyone else. So I don't know. I guess that's just me. I will tell you what, though. I'm not complaining about Bob Layton's art whatsoever. He does a great job. But at this point, having had, I think, 3 issues of Zek and then 2 issues of Layton, I'm ready for Zek to come back. I think that, and I believe I said this on a previous podcast, that both of them have very similar storytelling styles, like the flow of the story, the storytelling from panel to panel, the way they do layouts within the panels, all very, very similar. But Zek's panels, or his rendering, I should say, just tends to be a little more impactful. So it would be interesting to see if Zek had drawn this issue, if I still would feel that even though it's half action, half kind of plot advancement, if I would still see it as kind of a down issue in terms of action and pacing. That would be a very interesting experiment to see. Zek's version of the story. Obviously, it's not going to happen, but yeah, that being said, I mean, Leighton's art's great. His expressions, facial expressions, especially on the heroes on the splash page, where we see them all kind of looking up at the sky and seeing that that ship for the first time, is very, very impactful. So that works well. As does a lot of his facial expression, he gets to kind of run the gamut here. You know, we've got Professor Xavier and Magneto being angry and determined, and consternation on Xavier's face when he's being questioned for leaving Colossus behind. And then we've got some interesting facial expressions on the villains in that scene in the greenhouse or whatever it is, where they kind of confront Molecule Man, and Molecule Man calls them on their crap, and they're like, I mean, the guy's a wimp in their eyes, you know? But the fact of the matter is, he can control molecules, which makes him, you know, probably the most powerful person on the planet. And when they get called on their crap, they really don't have a leg to stand on. So that's just the reality of the situation. So I guess that's gonna do it for this episode. Again, I know I didn't really talk about this issue as much as previous issues, but there's not a whole lot to it. You know, it's pretty straightforward, kind of a bridge between. And if I remember right, I think 6 is a little bit of a bridge too, because I remember 4 being so good. It's probably my favorite issue of the whole series. You know, tons of action in that one. And my favorite scene with the mountain being dropped on. And I think 5 and 6 are a little bit slower paced, and then the action really ramps back up with 7, if I remember correctly. So anyway, I want to thank you all for listening. Don't forget to go to lrmonline.com for all previous episodes of the podcast. You can also find them over at thecomicsourceblog.com. Twitter.com/thecomicsource is where we can be found on Twitter. You can find out when new episodes drop and eavesdrop on our conversations with other comic creators. Also, do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those platforms. We put a lot of our convention coverage there. And speaking of conventions, Manny and I will be at WonderCon in Anaheim, California this coming weekend. In fact, a week from today. It's the 23rd through the 25th of March. So if you're going to be there, let us know. Track us down. We're going to have a really cool giveaway for all of you who come up and mention The Comic Source. So once again, thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll talk to you next time.